Soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy without spot or wrinkle by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight. Be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Well, the weight on my heart and the load on my shoulder, burden of sin I once carried around, and I heard a voice say, there is rest for the weary. That's when I laid it all down. Well, I laid it all down at the feet of the Savior. The rest that he gave me is the sweetest I've found. Well, he said, you can trust in your burden I'll carry. That's when I laid it all down. Peace for my pain and a smile for my frown. My heart is free and my burden is lifted since I just laid it all down. Well, I laid it all down at the feet of the Savior. The rest that he gave me is the sweetest I've found. Well, he said, you can't trust me, your burden I'll carry.
When one watches the news, we can start seeing incredible things happening. Many people are being brought to justice. They are going to be tried for the horrifying sins they have been doing. When one really knows what's going on in politics today, especially in the States and even here in Canada, there's a lot of pedophilia going on, meaning child sex trafficking, and many people are being found out. We can see how the corruption is starting to be exposed all over the United States and even here in Canada. Unbelievable things are happening. God is starting to expose corruption. And as we get closer to the end, he will expose some stuff that people will only be able to shake their heads at. And we will also see that the church, the people who call themselves the church, they will also be exposed in many areas of their wrongdoings. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. as we watch what's happening with the political systems and how they're being brought to justice because of the wrongdoing and because of the total disregard for righteousness and for the law, they will be brought, all that will be brought to justice. God will see justice being done. We know that God is a fair God, and that's how he worked throughout the ages. We know that Hitler tried to take over the world. He did it by killing off all his opponents. That's how he got into office. And then he killed so many Jews. And what did God do? He allowed the nations of the earth to join together to bring him to justice. And before he was able to be brought to justice, he killed himself, where now he will spend the rest of his eternity in the eternal lake of fire. And this is what's starting to happen here in Canada, and it's happening in America. Justice is brought to the front. People will be judged for their wrongdoing. Just pay close attention to what's going on. So the question we have today, how about the Church of Jesus Christ, those who are born again by the Spirit of God? Will they be judged by God? Does God punish his children who do not live for him, who do things that they shouldn't be doing? Well, Scripture teaches us that this is exactly what he does. So today I'll be teaching on this interesting subject. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open people's hearts to what's going on around us. I thank you, O God, for your grace. I ask you to anoint this message and bless the listener in Jesus' name. Amen. The question is often asked, does God chasten or does God punish his children for their wrongdoing? And I have heard people say that God does not touch his children. They can never make mistakes as far as he is concerned. Yes, when it comes to your salvation, you are free when you're born again. That God will never in any way or form revoke your salvation. But if you live a promiscuous life as a Christian, then God will make sure that you will reap what you sow. But there's a warning in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 17. For those who think they're Christians, I want to share these scriptures with you. There are many who call themselves Christians today. You don't know whether they are or not, but here is a warning for them. It tells us, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who are being past feeling and have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. So he is telling us this is how the Gentiles operate, the unbelievers. But you should not do that. It says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Christ. So if somebody lives for the devil, there is no change in his life, then the Lord Jesus Christ himself, here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20, will question whether he is born again. He will say, but you have not so learned Christ if you live like that. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Christ. Has God opened your eyes and your mind to your salvation? This is the question that is being asked here. Why do you live like that? So this is something to check yourself out with. If you live for the devil, there's no remorse. If you continue in all your things you did before you accepted Jesus, then the Bible will question whether you truly became born again. Yes, you may have had an emotional moment. Yes, you may have accepted Jesus Christ like somebody orders a hot dog. But that's beside the point. If there's no change, then the Bible will question whether you were truly born again. But for those of us who are born again, the question is, will God chasten us? If we do wrong, if we do something wrong, will he bring to us punishment? In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 6, it tells us this: for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with son. For what son is he whom the father chasteth not? That's not chasing him around. Chasteneth mean to bring the strap down, to punish somebody. In the New Living Testament, it reads like this: my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you, for the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as his child. As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Who has ever heard of a child who was never disciplined by his father? Well, in those days, we hear that all the time. But God will chasten. God will discipline his children. And sometimes the disciplining is very, very harsh. In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 8 and 9, if God doesn't discipline you, as he does all his children, it means that you are not his child. You are not really his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirit and live forever? So God is telling us here, if you are going to do wrong and you're not going to repent, then he's going to discipline us. Here is what I see with many religions today. They will find somebody doing wrong and they will discipline him. And that goes with many religions. The guy will come and confess his sin and he will go through some sort of punishment. That is totally wrong. When the guy comes to confess his sin, then his punishment shouldn't be put on him. You should forgive the guy and let him go on. But to discipline him means this: if he goes about his way, the Bible teaches us, if he doesn't repent, then the Bible teaches us we should hand him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. And that's how God punishes people. Even his own children, he will withdraw his protection from his children if they insist on living for the devil, and he will allow Satan to hit them with whatever he wants to. This has happened throughout history. God proves it in his scripture. It tells us in Proverbs chapter 3 in verse 12, for whom the Lord loveth, he corrected, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth in. So God will correct his children. I will give you a few examples, and I've heard these testimonies throughout the years. Young people will live in a promiscuous life. The next thing you know, the girl becomes pregnant and decides to have an abortion. So they go and have that abortion to hide their sin. And then for the rest of their lives, it eats at them like a worm eats at somebody's heart. They just can't forgive themselves. This is called you reap what you sow. Yes, God will forgive you if you have an abortion. God will forgive you if you live a promiscuous life, if you come to Him, once you're a Christian and you come to Him for forgiveness. But you will have to suffer the consequences. Forever you will be thinking about the child that you had killed in that abortion. This is how life is. And this is what happens to many, many Christians all over Christendom. They have to suffer the consequences of their life that they have lived. So be careful. Live for God. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you shall sow, that you shall also reap. I want to give you a story out of the Old Testament about King David. It starts in 2 Samuel chapter 12. And we remember the story where King David took Bathsheba away from her husband. And he made her pregnant. And the next thing he knew, he had to kill her husband, Uriah. And he made sure that he got killed in battle. And that was a horrible thing to do. And you have to remember, Uriah was one of David's best friends. That's how low David sunk. And then God sent Nathan the prophet to David and told him where he did wrong. And here is what happened. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, The Lord also has put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, and the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. So here it goes. Yes, God forgive David for the awful sin and crime that he committed. And that's how he will forgive us if we're born again. He will forgive because of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we will have to reap the consequences. Throughout David's life, he had nothing but bloodshed in his own house. And on top of that, the child that was born unto David died. It was from Bathsheba. So we know the story, and we sometimes wonder, how can God be so harsh? My question is, how could David be so harsh? He had absolutely no respect for his friend. He went and killed him just to have his wife, just to cover up his sin, so that he wouldn't get the blame. And that's how we all are today. We try to cover up. But there's something we have to understand. Be sure your sin will find you out. And God will make sure that you're going to be exposed if you do not repent of the horrors that you have been involved in. So let the Lord open your heart to this interesting message, because today we don't hear too much of this being preached, but it's there. God has written it. So open your heart and become a blessing to yourself. Amen.
I don't know about tomorrow. Live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry your future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I walk beside Him. Anything. about tomorrow. I don't try to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter, every cloud is silver lined. There the sun is always shining, there no tears will dim the eyes. At the end of the tomorrow, I don't try to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
One of the most interesting scripture about communion and living for God is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It talks about taking communion and being worthy to take communion. If a person takes communion and is not born again, I don't even know if it's really accounted to him because his eyes are closed. It doesn't really matter. He's lost anyway. He goes to hell anyway when he dies. So whether he takes communion or doesn't take communion, it doesn't make much difference, except he's doing what he's not supposed to do. In most cases, most people don't even understand what they're doing. So they go ahead and take communion because that's what they're being taught and that's what they're being told to do. But when a person takes communion who is born again and does not live for God, he lives a promiscuous life, he lives in idolatry, he lives in adultery, he's into pornography, he's into drunkenness, then that can cause a problem, because the Bible teaches us if you do that without repenting, if you take the Lord's Supper, if you take communion, the bread and the wine, which represents the Lord's body and his blood, then you are actually thumbing your nose at God. You are disregarding his suffering and his death. And will you lose your salvation? I want you... See, this is a big question. Will you lose your salvation when you do that, if you're born again? The Bible teaches us something very interesting, and I will read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse 30. For this cause, many are weak and sickly amongst you, and many die, many sleep. So, you cause sickness to come upon yourself and you cause premature death if you do live like that and you take the communion. This is why many Christians, and I've seen them, when they have an argument with somebody or when they're into some problem, when communion time comes, they do not take it. They feel unworthy. So instead of getting God's punishment upon themselves, they just don't take communion. And here is what happens. For if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. If we would make things right with God, then God wouldn't judge us. We wouldn't have to receive these punishments. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. If God judges us for the wrongs that we do, that means we are his children, and the reason he chastens us is so that we would not be condemned with the world. With the world, it doesn't matter. He does not really care. Let them do what they want. Many go on to live long, prosperous lives. In the end, they end up in the lake of fire anyway. Some die very young, and I've heard one preacher say, God is merciful with them. They don't heap on themselves more sin, so he allows them to die, so their punishment wouldn't be so great when it comes to judgment. But for us who are Christians, we get punished because we do wrong. And the reason we get punished is because we belong to Jesus, and the only reason he punishes us is because we belong to him. And that is the reason we're not being condemned with the world. So we need to open our heart to these things. God has it written out for us. For those of you who are not born again, regardless whether you take communion or not, it doesn't matter. You are cursed anyway. You're going to the lake of fire if you don't repent. You're going to be lost for eternity. But for those who are born again, you need to watch out and repent. So let the Lord open your heart to this and show you how serious this situation is. And for those of you who are listening to this program, you can also reach us on YouTube. You just go on YouTube, punch in Reaching Out Ministries, and you can listen to all the church programs that we're on. And even the singing is on there. So enjoy yourself as you join Reaching Out Ministries for a church service. So let the Lord open your heart to this and make you a blessing.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.